Welcome back to another episode of the Gospel Fuel Podcast. My name is Tanner. I'm on staff here at First Family. And every week on the midweek refill portion of the podcast, we talk through our reading plan for the year. If you want to join us in that plan, we are reading through the entire Bible in a year. You can visit firstfamily.church/resources to find that reading plan. So we're in week 45 this week, and I've got Adam back on the podcast this week for us. And yeah, Adam, good to have you back. And what do you got from week 45 for us?
Yeah, you know, when you do a Bible reading plan, you know, you look at all the options of, you know, what to pick from. And I was looking at it and, you know, I thought, well, I could talk about something in John or something. But, you know, when I was looking at it, that you guys were reading through Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is one of the hardest books, I think, in the Bible, because lots of chapters and a lot of it is prophetic, trying to understand what in the world is going on. Yeah, let's just be honest. The prophets are weird, you know, but there is like potentially one of the best chapters in the Old Testament, which is Ezekiel 37. So I would first encourage you, like if you've never read Ezekiel 37, to spend some time in it this week and actually do like a deep dive into it. I think it's one of the most beautiful pictures of not only of God's unfolding plan of redemption, but of just what God can do. And so the thing that I was thinking about that I wanted to kind of just pass along to our listeners and to our church is really just to never underestimate what God can do. I think oftentimes in our lives, we don't realize the power that lives within us. And when you read something like Ezekiel 37, so if you're not familiar with the passage, this is the passage of the Valley of Dry Bones.
It's got to be the most well-known in Ezekiel, right?
Yeah, I mean, can you name another one?
Not off the top of my head. Is Ezekiel the one that had to lay on his side and cook stuff over dung? Is that Ezekiel?
That's probably right. That's probably
or am I thinking of another prophet? There's at least one prophet who had to do that.
Could be Jeremiah. I don't know. But yeah, this is probably the most well-known chapter. And obviously to set the stage for it, I mean, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy multiple different times about different things. And he looks at this valley and he's like, hey, there's a valley of dry bones here. It's full of bones. And he led me around the other side, it says, and they're completely dry. Like he's trying to emphasize, like, there's nothing here. It's not only that they're just dead, but they're like, they're dead. Mm-hmm. Like there's literally no life in this thing. And he, cause his answer to God was, oh Lord God, you know, like you can imagine just his face, like, you know, like, what are you doing? He says, prophesy to the bones, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Like, hear God's word. And he says, I will cause breath to enter you. Really, the word there, I think, is spirit, if I'm correct. Yeah. Probably pneuma. This idea of I'm gonna breathe life. I'm gonna breathe my spirit into these bones. And then he says, like, well, hey, they're like, it's not full, you know. Like, you need to do it again. So he says, prophesy again that there would be sound, and there's like rattling that happens, and basically they come to life. That's the stage of this whole thing, is they have this valley of dry bones that God breathes life into. The thing that I keep thinking about, let me back up. The context really is, obviously, God's prophesying to the nation of Israel that one day the nation of Israel, and there's some debate here whether he's talking about the nation of Israel maybe, or is he talking about maybe the future church? Like, there could be some debate here, not really the purpose of this podcast. But really he's saying, like, the promises of God are true and I will take care of my people. Like, you might be absolutely wiped out, depleted, in a terrible position, dead in the valley. And yet God still loves his people enough to prophesy that one day, he goes on and on about one day, my son David, you know, I think is probably speaking of Jesus here, will, you know, reign over them and will rule, and forever I will be their God and I will be with them. I mean, that's such a beautiful passage of God's promises never failing. But the thing that I kept thinking about and just really hitting home to me is, how often do we doubt the power of God in our lives? Like, we read a passage like this and we think, well, that's cool back then. That's Bible time stuff. But he's not really going to help me out with my job. He's not really going to help me out with my finances. He's not really going to help me out with my marriage, or my kid has been, you know, disobeying me lately. Like, he's not going to do those things. He can bring a dead man back to life. He can cause a valley of dry bones to start walking out and talking and doing a little song and dance, right? Like, but he can't handle my problem. And I don't think we actually, like, would say that, but I think in our lives, we actually do believe that, sadly. And I think there's been times in my life that I believe of, like, he did it here, but he's not going to do it. And this constant reminder that I want to tell our church, to tell our people, is that God can do way more than you could ever imagine. Like, if he can cause dry bones to stand up and walk and have life in them, what could he do with a child of God who he deeply loves? Hmm. And so I never want to underestimate the power of God in my life. I never want to underestimate what God can do. And sure, we might not know exactly what God's going to do and how he's going to work and how he's going to move. But never for a second do I want to doubt or not believe in my heart, deep in my heart, that God can do absolutely anything. So I'm going to pray to that. I'm going to pray that the valley of dry bones in my life need to be resurrected. Whether it's my own heart, my depression, my anxiety that might be facing, or my insecurities that I might be facing, or the finances, like I mentioned, or anything, like whatever's going on in my life, God can overcome those things. And so I just want to rely more and more in my life on the power of God and not fall into doubt. Because what Satan wants more than anything is for you to believe that God is just the God of the Bible and not the God of you in 2025. That's what he wants you to believe. But the same God that we read in this scripture in Ezekiel 37 is still alive and active today. And actually the promises, I think, are still binding on us today, which is beautiful, that one day we will be with our God face to face forever and ever. And that power is not just a future thing that we will one day get, but that spirit is actually already pulsating through us. What a privilege that we have to be able to have the same spirit that breathed into the dry bones is actually in Tanner today.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think we are going through in our small group attributes of God study this week is God is powerful. I think the power of God is one of those that we all know and agree on. Like, nobody's like, I disagree. God isn't powerful. Like, if you're a Christian, you're like, yeah, God's powerful. He's creator, sustainer, salvation. Like, of course he can do all these things. But I think we in 21st century America forget the power of God because we don't see it manifested often. We see it, like you said, we see it in scripture. Like, oh, well, God is so powerful. He created, he sustains, he rose this person from the dead. He healed this person, whatever. But since we don't see a lot of it in 21st century America, I think it's actually one of the ones we take for granted, don't think about, don't talk about. It's not really like something that impacts us on a daily basis. And so I think, like you said, we forget that like God is powerful. He can do anything. The power is in us. And we don't make it personal. I think you're 100% right. And,
or God forbid, we think we don't need it.
Right.
Like, I'm doing fine. Yep. I don't need God's power.
And it reminded me of James 1, where it talks like, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask. Sure. And ask without doubting, because the doubter is like someone who's tossed by the waves and stuff. And now we're talking about wisdom there, but I think the same thing can apply. Like, ask the Lord to give us power, give us his power as we go throughout our lives, as we're hopefully doing kingdom work, as we want to see God's power in our lives. Like, God, show your power in my life. And like you said, in my marriage, in my small group, in my parenting, in my, you know, whatever it is. God, show your power in all these areas that, and believe without doubting, by God's grace, that he will and can move in those areas.
Absolutely.
That's good. Well, Adam, thanks for being on the podcast again. I'm glad to have you back. And church, I hope that encourages you as you walk with Christ, as you read your Bible. So keep reading your Bibles. We're nearing the end of the year, so I hope you're with us and still reading through your Bible in a year. So we'll see you next week on the Gospel Fuel Podcast.